This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour, the coronavirus has killed nearly 200,000 and infected 6.5 million people in the U.S. But amid those statistics, there are the 2.5 million Americans who have recovered from the disease.
We're survivors. I thank God for it. And that's all I can say.
We hear from three of those survivors about what it was like to have COVID-19, why getting better is an ongoing process, and why it affects people so differently.
Your personal experience is so vastly different than mine, than to yours, than to anyone else's.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted, wherever you listen to podcasts.
The death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg has not only left a country in mourning, it has shaken up the presidential campaign with just 6 weeks left until Election Day. To explore the new dynamic, we turn to our Politics Monday duo. That's Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report and host of Public Radio's Politics with Amy Walter, and Tamara Keith of NPR. She also co-hosts the NPR Politics podcast. So before I turn to you for comments, two things I want to let our audience know. Number one, it is reported reliably the president met with Amy Coney Barrett, the appellate court judge, who is one of the people he's considering for appointment to the Supreme Court. And separately, Lisa Desjardins wanted me to say to everyone that what she wanted to say was that there could be a Senate vote by the end of the month of October. So that's out there. And with that, I'm going to turn to you, Tam, and ask you, how has what's gone on with Justice Ginsburg, the fact that the president says he's going to nominate somebody right away, they're pushing for a vote, how is this changing, affecting the presidential campaign?
Well, certainly it is affecting the oxygen level in the political universe, because Supreme Court fights, and this will be a fight, as the past couple have been, Supreme Court nominating fights take all of the oxygen. They block the sun. Pick your analogy. They are big, huge political events. And you can see that already happening. I mean, this is a day when coronavirus has killed 200,000 Americans. We've hit this grim milestone, or very near it. And it's not the top story because there's a Supreme Court vacancy, though Joe Biden today did try to turn the focus back to coronavirus and other campaign issues. But the reality is that this is going to be a huge focus right up until the election, because the process is going to take that long.
Amy, how do you see this changing the presidential race?
So, Judy, since the beginning of January, we've had an impeachment. We are still in the middle of a health crisis pandemic. We've had an economic collapse. We have now the potential for a Supreme Court fight right before the election. Donald Trump's approval ratings at the beginning of January were about 42-43%. Today, they're 42-43%. And the NBC Wall Street Journal poll in January of 2020 had Joe Biden up over Donald Trump 50-40%. This weekend, they put out a new poll. This is the poll was in the field before Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, but had the race at 51-43. In other words, it seems as if, Judy, at any moment, one of these once-in-a-lifetime events is going to upend the trajectory of this race, opinions of the president, and it simply doesn't. I think we have an electorate that is already super charged, super engaged. These people are going to show up and vote across the country, no matter what. I do agree with Tam that it definitely puts focus on the Supreme Court, so it moves it off other issues. But honestly, in watching you speak with Senator Hassan and hearing the former vice president today on the campaign trail, I don't know if it's such a great idea for the president and for Republicans to have to talk about healthcare going into the final stretches of this campaign. Remember, healthcare was the issue Democrats used to really beat them successfully in 2018, and there are no signs that healthcare is better for Democrats, better for Republicans this time around.
Right, and Tam, I think some of the assumption going in was that Republicans would want to make this about reproductive rights, about abortion. Just quickly, the reporting is that Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, who has been chairman of the Judiciary Committee, major figure on that committee for many years is saying he now is in favor of going ahead with a vote. There was some question about what he would do. But, Tam, how much does it affect the election whether this vote, they try to rush a vote and get it done before the election versus waiting until after?
Yeah, I'm not sure what difference it will make. Certainly in 2016, the idea of a court vacancy hanging out there and the election deciding who would fill it was a very important part of the election for President Trump. He put out that list of nominees potential nominees back in 2016, and it helped him shore up support among evangelical voters. But what happens this time? I'm not really sure, and whether it happens on the front end or the back end of the election, if Republicans are determined and have the votes to get it done, it may not matter who wins in November in terms of this particular seat. I will just say, though, that Democrats are energized in the about 30 hours after Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death. Act Blue, which is a fundraising platform used by Democratic candidates and causes, raised $100 million. That is a stunning amount of money. It's more than double their largest single day before that. So, money sometimes indicates where energy is. There's a lot of energy on the Democratic side, and you can use that money. You can use that money to compete up and down the ballot.
A lot of money being put on the Democratic side right now. But Amy, what about this question, just quickly, of before the election, a vote before or after the election? And then the Senate races, the number of Republican incumbents who are in tough races this year.
Right. We have a lot of Senate Republicans who already know that they are tied to President Trump's fate. If he loses their state, they are unlikely to win. So the better he looks, the better their chances, which is why you're seeing most of those Republicans who are up this year getting behind the president. One person who's come out against this, of course, is Susan Collins in Maine, but she's always in that pickle where she's going, no matter what she says or does, folks who support Trump in that state think she's wishy-washy. Folks who had supported her in the past, especially independent voters in Maine, now because of her vote for Kavanaugh, say even if she holds off for supporting it before the election, or even if she says she won't support it during a lame duck, we don't know that we trust her enough. I saw a voter quoted as saying that, trust her enough to think that she'll follow through on that. So she's the one who's really caught most in that vice.
And there are several other Republican senators waiting to hear from Tam. Certainly Mitt Romney of Utah, Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska. It's expected, as Amy said, they will back the president, but we don't know.
Yeah, and the magic number is four. If four Republicans break off from the president, then this nomination, and it's in the abstract right now as to who it would be, the nomination could be sunk. We also don't know what will happen in the hearings. It may not matter what will happen in the confirmation hearings, but there have at times been confirmation hearings that changed the course or the trajectory. I'll just say that in 2018, a number of moderate Republicans learned that there's no badge of courage that you get for separating yourself from President Trump. Democratic voters aren't going to support you and give you a cookie for straying from the president. You still have an R next to your name. And if you lose the president, he'll tweet against you.
Right. So, and just quickly, Amy, we've seen Cory Gardner in a tough race in Colorado, Joni Ernst, one of you may have mentioned her, both of them sounding like they're going to be with the president.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tom Tillis in North Carolina as well. And again, all of those senators have in common, Judy? They came in 2014, and so they don't have as much of an identity that's separate from the political environment. As I said, how they do is tied very much to how the president does, and they want to make sure that if his voters are excited and they get out and vote, well, they're going to remember to vote for the Republican down ballot, too.
Many political calculi, or whatever the plural of calculus is. I'll let you guys straighten me out on the math. Amy Walter, Tamara Key, thank you both. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.